Welcome to Victory Family Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. For sermon notes and videos relating to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
Hey, this weekend is Rally Day. It's the opportunity for you to get a look at some of the small groups that are being offered. And just want to really encourage you to hop on the subway like we've been talking about. The subway you can get on at any point and get to any destination you want. But in this case, we want to encourage you to really give yourself over to the process that God has in His Word to be able to connect us with other people. The Scripture tells us this in 1 Corinthians. It says this, "Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character." And that's a negative way of saying it, obviously. But if you flip that, being in the right company develops good character. If there's anything we need in the culture we live in today, is people that have character. And people have been able to live out their faith in real time, in everyday life. And small groups are an opportunity for you to connect to people. I like some of the things that Heather was saying about, and I think she's kind of hard on herself. First time having babies, getting twins. I don't know if you ever recover from having twins, but boy, you don't need a small group. You need a large group when you've got twins, you know. But nonetheless, no matter where you find yourself, no matter where you're at in your spiritual journey, don't diminish this. Well, you know, I'm not, you know, one of those kind of real deep Christian people. I can't get in a small group. That's why you're not a real deep Christian people. You need to get connected to people who walk the same life you do. Our small groups, we have everything from activity-based small groups to topical small groups. I really want to encourage those of you who have not gone through life, living in freedom every day, which culminates with a retreat here right at the church, a two-day retreat. It's an incredible process. There's so much coming up, so much available to you. We'll tell you at the very end of the service, you'll see a website that will come up, that a small group finder website you'll find right at the end of the service. You can just go right there and go by age, by any, type in what you're looking for. It'll take you to all the different opportunities, locations, all the stuff that's available for you. So I really want to encourage you to get connected to a small group, okay? And that's available right now. You can go online and do that, but wait till after the service before you go online and do it, okay? But we're in the last of a three-week series called Life or Death. Next weekend, I'm going to be talking to you about how to bring the blessing of God into your home, into your family, into your everyday life, how to walk in the blessing and favor of God, how to teach your children to do that. In fact, next weekend, we're going to bring all of the students in. It'll be very timely. In other words, it won't take the whole service, but we're going to get them in here. We're going to pray over our kids for this coming year. And the whole service will be about the next generation, believing God over them. And I'm going to be teaching you from God's word how to walk in God's favor for yourself and how to bring the right thing to your kids. And so that's next week. The following week, we start our six-week series, You Ask For It. The first weekend, we cover the subject of gay marriage and gender identity. And we're going to take that from a redemptive perspective, but we're going to show you clearly what God's word says without apology. You need, and not just you, but guys, your kids have got to be equipped how to handle this issue in a godly manner. Not in a vindictive manner or a judgmental manner, but in a godly manner, in a biblical manner. So I really want to encourage you to please make that a priority in your life. But we've been talking about life or death. And we live today in a culture of death. You know, how many of you have ever thought back to Nazi Germany and had this question? I know I have. When you had the horrific things that Nazi Germany was doing to the Jewish people. When you think of what they were doing at Auschwitz. And how many of you have thought, how did somebody let that happen? And wouldn't you want, if you were there in that time, thought that you could have or would have at least stood against that or lifted your voice or, but the culture has a way of slowly numbing people to behaviors, to beliefs that are literally genocidal. Now, I'm going to use a word that I don't talk a lot about, and there's some people that don't like that I don't talk a lot about it, but there's a reason I don't. I don't like making a point at the expense of a person's well-being. And I'm about to use a word that for many people in this room, this is a wound. But don't get up and run out, because very often it happens. Let me talk to you about the redemptive side, because I am going to talk about something very, very difficult, and it may be hard for you. But I want to start with the redemptive side of this word before I go any further, okay? But there's a reason why I just don't say these things glibly, because these affect people very deeply who have experienced this issue. And that word's abortion. When you look in our culture today, we literally have an entire political party. And I don't care if you're a Democrat or Republican, it's irrelevant to me. By the way, God's neither. Amen. I said, by the way, God's neither. Amen. He's not even American. Alice, God's not American. No, there's no American flag over the throne, I promise. But there is an entire party, a political party, that is on their plank of supporting that. Now, so we live in a culture where it's not like Auschwitz, which was hidden, and it wasn't pronounced. Certainly the people knew what was going on, but it wasn't something that people went and marched and said, pro-Auschwitz. We live in a culture today of death. But before I get to the abortion issue that I want to talk about, just briefly to kind of put context for this life and death issue that the Bible talks about, is that if you have had an abortion, or maybe contemplating one, or you fathered a child who's been aborted, let me tell you about the mercy of God. The God that we serve, when we come to Him, He takes our sins and our iniquities, and the Bible said He remembers them no more. Because people live with this fear. I've been at the deathbeds of people, and their dying words, they'll ask everyone to leave the room, and they'll pull me down to their ear, and they'll tell me some horrific thing in their past, and they're afraid to die because of it. And I'm thinking at times of where a precious lady pulled me down to her ear. She could barely talk. She said, when I was in college, I had an abortion. And it plagued her whole life. And so these are things that are very, very devastating to people. And so, of course, I talked to her about the mercy of God. I wish I would have known today then what God has put in my heart about this issue. Because when I was praying about this, how to speak to people that have had an abortion, because not only, okay, I can accept God's forgiven me but someday I'm going to go to heaven and my baby's going to be in heaven and I'm going to have to see my baby. There's no way that can be made right. And that's where you're wrong. Amen. The book of Revelation says that in that day when we're with Christ, we're with God, that He makes all things new and He wipes away every tear. I don't know how God reconciles us. First of all, it's incredible that He reconciles us to Himself. If He can do that, He can reconcile anything. But here's the amazing thing about God. If you've had one or five abortions, when you get to heaven, your relationship with those kids will be no different than the children that you've given birth to. And God will make it perfect. And God will make it as if there was never any sin attached to any of it. And so you won't carry that throughout eternity. Aren't you glad the judgment of Christ is a judgment of fire that burns out the past of our life so we don't have to carry our wood, hay, and stubble, our sins and iniquities with us throughout eternity? Aren't you glad for the purging power of God through redemption? Aren't you glad that no matter what you face, and not just the abortion issue, but I promise you, there's a whole lot of secrets in people's lives that they're like, oh God, I don't want to have to talk to you about this. Anybody human? Come on, now listen. So God's for you. I don't care what's happened in your past. You belong in the kingdom of God and you are made right with God through Jesus Christ no matter what's behind you. And God will reconcile even that issue when you're with Him and that child. It's an amazing thing to serve a God who's that incredible. But that all said, we live in a world today to where body parts of babies are being sold by Planned Parenthood. And I realize that investigations and legalities all have to occur, but that's a separate issue. But the fact remains is that we have an organization that, and I'll just be plain, it's evil. It's not, well, what's your view? What's your truth? And all that garbage. It's evil. It's just simply evil. And yet we live in a culture to where it's not only tolerated, it's celebrated. There are people, the talking heads, that get on television shows and talk about why it's okay to dissect a baby. Now, of course, we use the word fetus. We often leave off the word human fetus. Because we dehumanize people. Is it any wonder why we live in a culture of death? Where we want people to somehow shift gears when they're... We don't want someone to go into a room and start killing people. But it's okay, though, to do it for convenience or whatever. It's crazy. I want to show you just a brief clip of a video that many of you may have seen this. And at the end of this, I want you to see the quotes. One is by this woman, Dr. Nicoretta or something like that. And then the other one is, you'll see, is by a Dr. Joseph Mengele. Mengele was the Nazi, he was the angel of death in Nazi Germany. He would do live experiments and horrific experiments on Jews. Now, he said he was doing it, of course, for medical purposes, but he was a sadistic animal. But I want you to watch this, and I'm doing it for a purpose. And so please stick around through the end of this, because there's a reason I'm bringing this kind of gravity to the issue before we go on. So just take a quick look at this.
A lot of people want attack parts these days because they're looking for specific notes. AB notes, SA. I was like, wow, I didn't even know. Good for them. Yesterday was the first time she said people wanted lungs. And then, like I said, always as many attack livers as possible. People just want
livers.
People want lower extremities too. That's simple. I mean, that's easy. I don't know what they're doing for the next. They want muscle.
Yeah, a diamond doesn't. The $30 to $100 price, that's per specimen that we're talking about, right? Yeah.
Yes.
How much of a difference can that actually make if you know what kind of what's expected or what we need versus...
It makes a huge difference. I'd say a lot of people want liver. Mm-hmm. And for that reason, most providers put this piece under ultrasound guidance, so they'll know where they're putting their forceps. Kind of rate-limiting step of the procedure is calvarium. Calvarium, the head is basically the biggest part. Most of the other stuff can come out intact.
Right.
It's very rare to have a patient that doesn't have enough dilation to evacuate all the
To bring the body cavity out,
exactly.
Contact all that.
So then you're just kind of cognizant of where you put your graspers. You try to intentionally go above and below the thorax so that, you know, very good at getting parts, long liver, because we know that. So I'm not going to crush that part. I'm going to basically crush below, I'm going to crush above, and I'm going to see if I get it intact.
The more we do to you, the less you seem to believe we're doing it. That's the slow creep of culture that happens in every one of our lives. Now, this doctor, please don't misinterpret this. I bet if I had dinner with her and her family, she'd be a wonderful person. She doesn't, but she's sitting there eating a salad saying, people want liver, like it's a car part. This is a young woman that went to college to be a doctor, took the Hippocratic Oath, who has no concept of how the culture has corrupted her soul. Now, I'm not against her. Let me say, the only difference between where she is at with God and where I'm at with God is Jesus. I am no better than her. I'm not putting her down. God loves her, and he has a plan for her life, and he wants to redeem her, and he wants to set her free from a culture of death. But by the way, he wants to set me from it too. And here's the reality that I want you to see. We are living in a culture of life and death. This is not a playground, it's a battleground. And I want to talk to you about what the scripture says on how you can bring life into your home, into your life, into your family, and not choose death. Look here, Deuteronomy 30. This has been our foundation scripture. He said, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Everybody say choose. This is the issue with God. God does not impose his will on people. God does not make me do anything. In fact, he said, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Then he gives you the hint, choose life. And here's the outcome, that both you and your descendants may live. And that you may be able to love the Lord your God, obey his voice, cling to him. For he is your life, he is the length of your days. As we wind the series up, I want to talk to you about how to choose life for your home. How to bring the right things into your life so that so often religion makes it seem like serving God is a takeaway. In fact, if you talk to people, that's actually how they approach it. Well, I'm not ready for that Christian life. You know, I'm not ready, you know, to like give up all the fun stuff. That's the lie of the culture. Is that there's some, and that's what deception is. And we've all lived in deception. Is that somehow what is against God is good for me. And somehow what God says don't touch, if I touch, it's the original lie that in the garden. Has God really said? Did God really say that? It's a submission to God issue as a Christian. But look with me, if you would, in Luke chapter 11, words of Jesus, verse 11 through 13. Jesus said, "Which of you fathers, if a son asks for a fish, will you give him a snake instead?" How many of you would pass the fish or snake test? Raise your hand. Oh, that's bad. All right. "Or if he asks for an egg, would you give him a scorpion?" Anybody serving scorpions this morning to your kids before church? None? We don't have to call, you know, human services for you. Have you arrested? Okay, you're good. You're good. Going once? Okay, no scorpion feeders? All right, good. Good. We're good so far. "If you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those that ask him?" Jesus is drawing the obvious assumption. Parents give good things to their kids. How many of your kids wake up in the morning, mom, dad, you make breakfast for your kids, and they sit down to eat something, and the first thing they say to you, they say, "Did you poison this?" Look, I'm glad you made it and everything, but I've got to ask, is there poison in this? How many of you would just be a little offended at that? Isn't that right? So Jesus is making the assumption that as parents, that we're going to give our kids what they need, that we're going to lead them and nourish them and take care of them. But here's what you need to understand in life, and we all do, is this simple thing that when you choose life for yourself, you're choosing life for your kids. You and I have to make decisions as parents that whether we're going to let the culture lead us and lead our family life and lead our decisions, or we're going to let God's word do it. When you and I let culture direct the way we live our lives, we are literally giving our children scorpions and snakes. And what I know as a pastor, and it's a very unique opportunity and a very unique calling and profession, because you are with people at every stage of life. And maybe the oddest thing about this is that at one moment you'll get a phone call of a great story of victory and wonderful something happened in somebody's life. And literally on the heels of that, you get a phone call of something horrific that happened to somebody. And at one moment you are rejoicing, literally in the next moment you're crying. And you get to watch every decision in life. You get to see the process. You get to be one of the most honoring things that you do in this vocation is that very often you're with people in their final moments of life. And it is so sacred. And you get to be with people who are rich and poor and have been discarded and been embraced, and you get to see what they regret and what they long for at the end of their life. And you get to see people who have more money than they can spend in an empty room that no one loves them. And they gave their life for something that didn't give a return. That's the lie of the culture. It's the lie of the enemy that sets the culture on fire of hell to give you the sweet food, but put the bitter poison right in the middle of it. The question that you really want to ask is, how deeply do you really love your kids? Are we really putting into our kids the things that are going to prepare them to choose life? Because if we're not, the culture, it is not, there is no neutral in the culture. There are no choices that you will make in your daily pursuit of your daily life that are neutral. Now, of course, getting in your car, driving, that's pretty neutral unless you're going to go 150 miles an hour. There are some neutral common decisions that you make, but for the most part, I'm talking about things that progress your life. There is no neutral. It's either going to be from one kingdom or the other. It's either going to produce life or it's going to produce death. But the culture has so put us to sleep that literally we have an organization getting government funding, selling baby parts. And I don't care what your political party is. I don't care what your view is on anything. The conscience of a nation is dead. This is the culture your children and my children and our grandchildren are going to be raised in. And it's ever darkening. Now, as a Christian, you can get all, you know, fearful and say, I wouldn't want to raise kids in this world. Well, I don't know another one to raise them in. But the Bible doesn't tell you you have to go cower in fear and go in some cave and get tribulation food. Y'all know what trib food is. That's the stuff you buy that's dried that lasts for 400 years. Can I tell you something? A lot of Christians are doing that. They're buying food and they're hiding it and they're storing it. And you say, well, are you doing that? No, I'm just going to come to your house. The real issue is this. It's not about putting anybody down. It's not about being better than, because we're not. It's about opening your eyes to how God sees something. Now, these type of messages are very offensive to people. But the Bible says the gospel is an offense. But the reality of it is God doesn't speak these things in his word to us as a matter of offense, but really as a matter to provide life for you. How many of you have ever said this to your kids? Honey, I'm telling you this for your own. How many of your kids ever looked back at you and went? How many of you, when you had a little one, you had to give more than a little one on the bottom and you said, baby, this hurts me more than it hurts you. How many of you as a kid, when you got one of those statements? My dad never said that, by the way. My mother would say that. My father, he never said, I want you to know this hurts me more than, no, he never said that. But you know, my mom would say that. I'm thinking, well, then let me beat on you. You'll feel better. What's the deal? The reality of it is, there's so much that we want to pour into our kids that so often we get a pushback. And I want to encourage you. He says here in the scripture that we are to prioritize our life, putting God first. And I want to encourage you today that this is Rally Day. Small groups are launching today. This is a real life decision. This is a black and white issue. This is simple. Will you give yourself over to a process that will bring life to you, that will surround you with Christian people, that will enable you to be able to walk with other believers that are fighting your battles and winning your battles? Or are you going to continue to do life alone? That's a choice you'll make. And it's not a maybe so. It's simple. You'll know shortly whether you did it or didn't do it. These things have a domino effect in our life. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5 says this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. That is, love him with all that's in you. Love him with all you've got. Write these commandments that I've given you today on your heart. Get them inside you. Now listen to this. And then get them inside your children. How do you do it? Talk about them wherever you are, sitting at home or walking in the street. Talk about them from the time you get up in the morning to when you fall in bed at night. Tie them on your hands and on your foreheads as a reminder. Inscribe them on the doorposts of your homes and on your city gates. He's simply saying, I want you to learn how to communicate godly living to your kids in everyday life. How many of you as families have ever struggled with a family devotional? Raise your hand. All right, in case you're afraid to raise it in church, I've struggled doing family devotionals. Why? Because, well, kids, we're going to get up an hour early before school and we're going to study the book of Ephesians. That's a mutiny. Here's the deal. It's fine if you've built that into the culture and family, your family life. That's great, by the way, if you have. But really, Deuteronomy tells us it's not a moment. It's every opportunity you have to try to show your kids, no, honey, do you see what this is saying? Do you know why that isn't God's plan for you? Do you know why it's so important that as you grow older and you start to date, that you don't date people that don't love Jesus and don't walk with God? Because they might really deep down be good people, but you don't want to have to dig that deep to find good. And if you marry somebody that you have to dig that deep to find good and they harm you, I'll be good to them. I promise. If they're good deep down, I'll bury them 12 feet instead of 6. Come on. Here's the deal. Now listen, sincerely. If we're going to live this life, we've got to make a decision that we're going to do what the scripture says. If we're going to act in these issues with our kids in a way to put the word in. Forgive me an example. Miley Cyrus. How many of you remember Hannah Montana? What a sweet little girl, right? And my little girls, you know, they weren't crazy Hannah Montana fans, but I could see them. Hannah Montana was like a big deal for a period of their life. But here's what I knew. I knew that if Hannah Montana or Miley Cyrus was going to remain popular in the culture, they were going to do to her what they'd done to every other child, particularly young women. In a culture that says, Hollywood, that says they respect women, they were going to turn her into basically a picture of utter broken sexuality. So I began to say to my little girls, I said, guys, listen, and I made sure, Michelle and I looked at, she's not going to be posters everywhere, because when she made her turn, which was coming, either she was going to make her turn or she was going to disappear off the scene. And it wasn't long before that came to pass. And by the way, I pray for that little girl. She's a Christian, but she's so broken. I'm going to read you a quote from Miley Cyrus. This is Hannah Montana. No, this is from Hannah Montana. This is her words. I'm literally open to every single thing. This is sex now. I'm literally open to every single thing that is consenting, that doesn't involve an animal, and everyone is of age. Everything that's legal, I'm down with it. Yo, I'm down with it. Any adult, anyone over the age of 18, who is down to love me, I don't relate to being boy or girl. I don't have to have my partner relate to a boy or a girl. That is utter insanity. And yet, I think tonight, there's one of the music awards, she's going to be hosting it. And all the little girls who loved Hannah Montana are going to watch a little girl who doesn't have any concept of what love means. Now, my heart breaks for this kid. In fact, I have an achy, breaky heart. You got to admit, that was all right. Come on. Come on, that was pretty good. As you watched their parents who started with a standard and ended up in a gutter. And I pray for them too. And again, I'm not better than them. And certainly that little girl does not need the disdain of every Christian. We should be praying for that precious little kid. And my heart breaks for that little girl. But the culture is set up to take that little Disney girl and turn her into basically a porn star. It's like how many of you ever watched Aladdin? It's like watching Aladdin knowing that they're going to do an Aladdin Disney movie and make him a porn star. It's like that's the way it works. It is a culture of death, and it is so subtle. And as a parent, you're going to have to make some choices. You're going to have to give your kids wisdom and not just rules. You're not just going to have to give demands. You're going to have to give them the reason why. It's so incredibly important. And as we wind this down this morning, he told them three things. He said, you love God with all you've got. That was the first thing he told them. Love God with all you've got. You've got to learn to live your Christian life with an all you've got concept. We all have an all you got areas in our life. Maybe it's golf. Maybe it's whatever for you. Maybe it's your cars that you, whatever, or maybe it's whatever. You figure whatever you like. For me, my all you've got right now is Downton Abbey. I'm joking. I am watching it, but it's not all, okay, it's not my all. I'm not all in, all right? I'm not all in. Still a fella. Give me a break. Okay, so, but I do watch Downton Abbey. Does anybody else watch Downton Abbey? Okay, the rest of you, bless your heart. I never thought I'd ever watch a Downton Abbey, but I've now watched it. Hallelujah. My Lord, my Lady. Anyway, I'm sorry. I've digressed. All right. You got to have an all-in lifestyle with God. Small groups, go all in. Growth track, go all in. Loving God, go all in. With your kids, go all in. Because someday the helmet gets put away. The bat gets put away. The cheerleading pom-poms get put away. Listen, parents will say, well, we're too busy to put God first right now. Come here, just between us, you're way too busy. Yeah, but you don't understand my son. He needs to get lessons from this one because he's going to be a pro baseball player. Now, just to be candid with you, Jimmy's not that good. He's not going to make a living out of it. That's just your dream. Jimmy's going to grow up, unless he is superior in his simple athleticism, his physique. He doesn't have a shot. It's like saying to me that I'm going to be a sprinter. Yeah, no, it wasn't that funny, was it? Okay, yeah, I guess it wasn't. Ain't happening. I could have played basketball and had basketball lessons my whole life. White men cannot jump. That was a movie, by the way. Listen, I'm slow. My jump shot, you have to understand, my jump shot was when I went on my toes. I mean, the only way I get up by the rim was with a ladder. I don't care how many lessons I got. Don't invest in, doesn't mean you shouldn't invest in these things. Doesn't mean you shouldn't be serious about these things. But don't teach your kids to go all in over a silly game and not go all in with God. Because I'm telling you, it will cost you. He didn't say just put these things in you. He said, love him with everything. And then he said, you get God's word inside you was the next thing he said. That means you've got to have a daily way to put the word of God in your life. And then you've got to commit to live it. That doesn't mean you're perfect. It just means that you're willing to say, God, if you said that, that's the way to go. I may not be getting there right now. I may be struggling in getting there. Well, join the club. But we don't get to change God. That's what the culture wants you to do. This is what God says. Well, did God really say that? And we say, well, I don't want to judge. Well, you better wake up and judge. You better wake up and judge between what God said and what Satan has said. If you ever make judgments in your life, sweetheart, right there be the one. Judge. Doesn't mean judge people. Doesn't mean be condescending. Doesn't mean to be overbearing. Doesn't mean to tell people you're better than them. None of that. But in your own home and in your own life and in your walk with God, God, if you said it, man, I may not, God, I don't see how I can ever incorporate that in my life, but I'm certainly not going to change you. Lord, you help change me. And boy, that's a growth process. And small groups can help you incredibly do that. But then the last thing he told them to do was this. He said, you get God's word inside your kids. You do this by putting God's word in their life in an everyday context. Teach your children that life is spiritual, that life is mental and physical. The Bible calls it spirit, soul, and body. If you leave any one of those three out in a person's life, they'll be imbalanced. So we're all living in a physical world. We're all living in a mental world. We're all living in a spiritual world. But if you leave the spiritual part out, which God says to put first, you will devastate the quality of your child's life. Yeah, they might have a great college degree and make a great living, but they will have a lousy life. They will have no peace. They'll get on the treadmill that never ends. And the quality of their life will go down. But let me tell you this as well. Your child doesn't have a spiritual life. The location of their eternity can be at stake. There is a heaven, Jesus said, and there is a hell. And every human being that dies goes to one or the other. And your kids don't go to heaven because you do. God has no grandchildren. He only has kids. And your children and my children have to make a decision to bow their knee to the lordship of Jesus. Because without Jesus, Jesus said it this way, no man comes to the Father except through me. He that has the Son, Jesus said, has life. He that does not have the Son does not have life. Eternal life. We're not just talking about choosing life for the life that now is, but I'm talking about the life that is to come. The choices you make today, and moms and dads that still have kids at home, listen, all these emphasis that you see in this church with little children and young ministries and these young, all my kids are grown, but one's a senior in high school. This isn't about my personal life. This is about a call of God that Jesus said, if you love me, feed my lambs. Amen. If you love me, feed my lambs, not just my sheep. Jesus said this, it would be better for you to kill yourself than to offend a little child. So when I have people push back, and they do, and they're welcome to, I'm welcome not to care. When they push back and say, I just think this is unnecessary. That's your business. Think what you want. And someday when you're dead and you stand before God, you tell them about what you thought about it. Amen. That's between you and Jesus. But someday I'm going to die and stand before him. He said, John, I told you if you love me, feed my lambs. Why didn't you do it? Well, Lord, this hard-hearted Christian thought it was unnecessary. You know what he's going to tell me? You see them anywhere around, boy? Hallelujah. That day's coming. Hallelujah. That day's coming. And what I want you to know as a pastor of this church, we're going all in to reach your kids. I'm telling you, we are going all in to reach your kids. I'm not talking about some other church or some other culture. Right here at Victory Family Church, we have about 900 students from age fifth to eighth grade. 900. 12% of them are going to those classes. We are failing right here. I'm failing as a pastor, and you're failing as a parent. Period. That black and white enough? I am utterly failing as a pastor in that area. And you are utterly failing as a parent in that area. So what are we doing about it? We've brought more staff on. We're expanding. We're building more building. We're spending money. Money. Now, we're very frugal. We squeeze a buck till Washington weeps. But let me tell you something. I will never bow my knee to money when it comes to the mission of Jesus. And we're going to go get this next generation. The weekend of October 3rd and 4th, we're going to launch the middle school. Middle school ministry, they're going to have their own youth center. The 9 through 12 will have their own. We're making changes. We've added staff. And let me tell you, mom and dad, you get your kids into church. Listen to what the scripture says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. It said, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. But let us encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. The day approaching is the return of Christ. He said, when you see the return of Christ imminent, get together more, not less. Small groups are getting together more. Make coming to church a habit, he said. How many of you have some good habits and some bad habits? How many of some of y'all's bad habits start with a fork? All right. Yeah, that's too close to home, Jesus, help you. Listen. You have a habit of getting, how many of you educate your children? How many of you make sure your kids go to school even when they say, I don't want to go? What do you say? Get out of bed and go to school. How many of you are paying for college? Yeah, merciful heavens. And all the reason they didn't raise their hands, they're too tired. We make habits of these things. I want you, listen, as your pastor, you make a habit. You come to church, make it a habit in your life, put the word in you and get your kids in church. We're too busy. You're too stinking busy. This is life and this is death. This culture does not play games. It plays for keeps. And as a pastor, I have presided over the over heartache that could have been avoided. And I don't want that for you. I long that no one would suffer in that regard. This is life and death for your kids. And that weekend, we're relaunching everything. We're expanding. Now, here's what we've done to our offices right now, because we've had to get people out of offices to fix space. We have our the people who work on staff here, we've got them kind of suspended in the ceilings. But that's all right. We're not here to build offices. We're here to reach people. So our staff are great people, and they have great attitudes. No matter what closet they get stuck in, they're like, thank you, Jesus. Because we're going to reach a generation. We're going to reach our kids together. We're going to choose life together. And mom and dad, get in a small group. Do you know the small groups for your kids? Don't be so busy. Please don't be so busy. Don't teach your children that spiritual things are fifth. Because someday you're going to beg that they'll put it first. When you see the consequence, you're going to want to turn it around in 30 seconds. And you can't. You can get on your knees and you can trust God. And we'll get on our knees with you. We'll fight through that battle together with you, no matter where you're at in life. But you listen to me, please. While you have breath in you, while you still have a window of opportunity with your children, or if you have influence of any child or grandparent, listen to me. You get them in church and you get yourself there and you make it a habit. I don't mean when you go on vacation, have fun, go to the beach. You're going away for a holiday weekend, go away, have fun. I don't mean legalism. I'm talking about make it a habit. Like tomorrow morning when the alarm goes off and you get up for go to work, that's what you call a habit. I know you, anybody ever tempted to go, no. But you get yourself out of bed, you get yourself cleaned somehow, you get in the car. How many of you drive in traffic into the city every morning? You're like, I just want to kill somebody, Jesus. I mean, traffic can put you over the edge, right? You do it every day because you deem it important. I beg you as a pastor, I beg you. And these are words that if I just had a way to get them in you, I beg you to make spiritual things first. Because it isn't just for you. It will be for the thing that you love more than anything on this earth. The people that you love, your children, your grandchildren, the people that you have influence in their life. I beg you to put spiritual things first. Make spiritual things matter and get your kids in their classes. From little ones all the way up to right through high school years. So my kids don't want to go. Do your best to, of course, explain it to them. But at the end of the day, be a stinking parent. Well, they don't want to come. Well, whoop-dee-doo. Be a stinking parent. Say, get your tail in the car. Who want to? Whoop-dee-doo. You paying bills? Get in the car.
Amen. Come on.
It's called parenting. Amen. I realize there's some situations that's impossible. I get that. But come on, man. Dads, come on, dads. Don't check out. Please don't check out, Dad. Please. You say, I'm not that spiritual. Don't buy that lie. Your spirituality is just different than a woman. Check in. Get in a small group. Lead your family. Grow spiritually. Tell your son when he starts mouthing off to his spiritual mother, Mom, I ain't going. You go up to your son and say, you're not only going, I'm going. Well, I don't want to go. Shut your mouth, boy. Get in the car. I took you in the world. I'll take you out. Now, I'm serious. Be a dad. I'm telling you, these are the decisions that time is going to roll away from you, and you are going to realize they were the most important decisions you ever made as a parent, or that you neglected as a parent. And I long for you to choose life now, because the decision, we'll quote Benjamin Franklin to finish the message this morning, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. So please, please yield to God. Let me pray for you. Let's open our hearts to the God that loves us all. Father, I thank you for your great love, your great mercy. Father, I mentioned people by name today, this doctor, Miley Cyrus, her parents. Lord, I pray for them. You love them and we love them. What they've done and what they said is public. It's not private. So in that sense, it's fine to speak of. But Lord, these are people that you love. They matter to you. And they're not just some figure. They're human beings. And I pray your mercy on them. Put people in their life that will help rescue them from darkness. Lord, I pray for moms and dads in this room, grandmas and grandpas and people that have influence in young people's lives, that they'll open their heart and love you and put your word in their life and then put it in their kids, that they'll make the kind of spiritual choices that they will have longed to have made 10 years from now. Oh, I pray that over every family in this church. I pray that with everything in me. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as the Lord and Savior of your life, if you were to die today, you don't know where you'd spend your forever. Jesus said there's a heaven to gain. Jesus said there's a hell to shun. When we die, we really do go to one or the other. He said so. Oh, the awesome price he paid so that people like you and me could have eternal life. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you'd say, you know, Pastor John, I really don't know what would happen to me if I died today. I don't know that I've ever given my life to Christ. I want to pray for you, and I'll do it right where you're seated. In fact, the whole church will pray that prayer out loud and together with you, with every head bowed and every eye closed. If you want to invite Christ in your heart, you say, pray with me, Pastor. I want to know that I have eternal life, and I don't know that. This is the first place of yielding to God. And let me tell you, your whole family may hang in the balance. Dad, stop being hard-hearted. Yield to God and lead your family into life. Say, yeah, but I've done too much. No, you haven't. His mercy is overwhelming. There's nothing you could have done that's greater than his love for you. He loves you. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about an everyday relationship with a living God who wants to bless you and help you and lift you. With every head bowed, every eye closed, say, Pastor, please include me in that prayer. I'll pray for you right where you're seated. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Would you simply raise your hand right where you're seated, and I'll pray for you. Do it right now, and we'll pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. God bless you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. One last moment as I look around. If you've not yet raised your hand, say, please include me with those many that have. You can say, I'm not here to embarrass you. You see, you're not going to be embarrassed. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Hey, listen, if you raised your hand or you should have, please pray this out loud where you hear it. Jesus, will come into your heart. He will never leave you, never forsake you. Pray this for you here. We'll pray it together with you. Say, Heavenly Father, I come before you in Jesus' name. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin debt. I open the door of my heart, the door of my life. And Jesus, I invite you in. I receive you now to be my Savior and Lord. Thank you for coming. I am now a child of God. My sin is washed away. I am heaven bound. I confess boldly that Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen. Give them a hand, would you? Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray you were blessed by God's word. For additional teachings, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.